Thank you so much. I just want to jump right in as to why we do what we do. See, it's a little bit off-center maybe, but that's okay. We have this mandate from our Savior that's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So that's why we go. We talked in Sunday school this morning, everything we do in life has to be according to God's word. So if we're going and doing something that's against God or he hasn't directed us to do, we'd be wrong. But right there's the mandate, right at the beginning. That's why we go. And at the end of the mandate, we also have a promise. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You can be sure of that, he says. And that gives us the hope and the peace as we drag our kids all over the world and leave family and everything. He is enough for everything that we're doing. So with that started, I want to ask a favor of you before we get going too far. I don't know how many of you are like Facebookers or Twitters or Instagrammers or anybody? Right there, okay, very good. Please, as you're doing all your tweeting and stuff, don't put us, anything about us online. We go to countries, both Jen and I and our kids and some of our teammates, where they're not friendly to the gospel. They hate churches. They hate our Lord and Savior. And if they were to find out that we were going there for that purpose, they would not let us be there much longer. So if you could just keep the lid on for us, we'd sure appreciate that. Okay, so we like to have it. Well, here, let me just tell you what I'm going to do first. Going to go through our goals, and then we have about 130 pictures. So I hate dry, boring lectures that just have to fight to stay awake. But if there's pictures, I can handle a picture. So we've got a lot of pictures, and we're going to just talk about what we did and what God has doing through pictures. So I hope that's easier to pay attention to. Pastor's given me about 50 minutes, so we've got a long time. So I'll try to keep it lively, keep it moving, and get lots of pictures. So our goal is when we headed over. For the first 3 to 4 years, we had a set of goals. For the next set of years, we'll have a new set of goals. We have to do this incrementally. But the overarching goal in everything we do, no matter what stage we're in of this ministry, no matter what year we're in, whether it's year 3 or year 30, is to give great glory to God by sharing the good news of his Son, Jesus Christ. So that's what we're always wanting to do, whatever we're doing. And then in the first 4 to 6 years, you're really going hardcore into studying and learning culture and language. Because if you don't speak the language, you don't understand the culture, it's impossible to really make any kind of lasting impact for the kingdom. We saw on the 3-minute preview for the class that's being offered this morning how you're going to go through, those of you who take the class, and study the culture and everything that's going on back in Bible times so that we can understand the Bible better. That's so important for studying the Bible, and it's so important also for reaching out to other people. Another big goal for us during the first amount of time, our first term on the field, was to serve with the foundation in Thailand that provided our visas. It's Sayarak Suwanapum. Anybody know what that means? Okay, that's Thai. Basically means showing love to Southeast Asia. Suwanapum is the name that they would give to Southeastern Asia. And we'll see a map of that in a minute and kind of define it a little bit more. So that was a big part of our first term there. They provided our visas, very godly foundation led by godly men. They had a lot of cool things for us to do. And then another big part of our, probably the biggest part of that time, was to prepare to move out of Thailand. Because Thailand's an easy country to be in. There's no governmental restrictions. It's pretty friendly, pretty chill most of the time. We wanted to get in there, learn culture, learn language, especially language, because we're going to Laos. So Thai and Lao are very closely related as far as language, grammar, culture, Buddhism. So we wanted to learn about those things so we could take it over to Laos, which is harder. Make sure I got all my notes here. Okay, one other thing that I want to talk about right at the start is we don't go into Laos or some of the other countries where our organization goes as missionaries. Simple reason is because we don't like missionaries. That's not true. It's not true at all. It's because the countries hate missionaries. They won't let missionaries into the country. So we have to go in creatively. Usually as businessmen, sometimes in some circumstances we can go in as students also. That allows us access to the country and therefore to the people groups that have never heard the gospel, and we're able to talk to them that way. We love missionaries. I want to leave that out there. So, Southeast Asia, so I can do a little bit of technological magic here. Southeast Asia is where we are, so we're going to just draw a little line there. So that's Myanmar, Laos, Thailand, Cambodia. Sorry, I left out Vietnam. And Vietnam down there. So we're south of China, to the east of India. And that's the part of the world that my team focuses on. Our organization has other teams in other places, but that's the area where my team focuses. We were both in Thailand and in Laos. We'll talk more about that later. Started in Thailand for 2 years, a day short of 2 years, then transitioned to Laos. And they're both pretty small countries, especially Laos. It's about 6.5 million people. Biggest cities, 250,000 people, give or take a little bit. So very small countries, third world, undeveloped, but not in God's eyes. God loves every single person there, and he wants the gospel to go. Let's talk about Thailand first, since that's the first place we went. It's a fertile, well-watered land bordering on Myanmar, Laos, Cambodia, and Malaysia. There are 114 different people groups. I just want to define people groups real quick. A people group is a set of people that has a very distinct culture and a distinct language that would set them apart from the next group of people. So here in the States, it's a very foreign concept for us. We're all American, you know, we're a big melting pot. We should be. Where in other countries, it's not like that. You can go 2 or 3 miles in some cases and hit a completely different set of people who don't speak the same language. Their cultures, their customs, their religions are all different. So in Thailand, there's 114 of those groups, and 76 of them have not yet heard the gospel. There are 85 different languages spoken in Thailand. The official language is Thai, which is what we learned. And the largest religion is Buddhism, and that's about 85% of the population. Laos is the second place we went. It's a narrow, landlocked country, mainly between Thailand and Vietnam. It's mountainous and 55% forested. There's 147 people groups in this tiny little country. 134 of them don't have a gospel witness in their culture and language. There's 89 languages total. The official language is Lao, and the largest religion is Buddhism. It's 57% of the population. Now, the government says the official language is atheism, because it's a communist country. There's not really many atheists in the world when you come down to it. So most of these people are still Buddhist or animist. They worship spirits. There's a spirit in the tree. If your grandma gets sick, as we saw, somebody did something to make the spirits mad, to make her want to be sick. So you got to do all these things to get grandma better. That's how it works in animism. Just to describe the rest of the countries, we were never in these last three, but it's part of the area of the world. And we've got a burden for these countries as well, so I want to share about them. Vietnam's a long, narrow country occupying the entire eastern and southern coastline of Indochina. There's 114 peoples, 64 of them are unreached. The majority of these unreached people groups are in northern Vietnam. The official language is Vietnamese, and the largest religion, again, is Buddhism. Next country is Myanmar. Some of you might know it as Burma. It's basin and delta of the Irrawaddy, and I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. I don't speak the language I speak in Myanmar. It's the Irrawaddy River, ringed by a horseshoe of high mountains that isolates the country from India, China, and Thailand. There's 142 peoples there. 51 of those people groups are still unreached with the gospel. There are 116 languages spoken in that country. The official language is Burmese, and again, the largest religion is Buddhism. That's 80% of the population. And in all of these countries, they guard their religion carefully, but especially in Myanmar. They are very jealous for Buddhism. They are very jealous that nobody ever goes in and changes one little bit of their culture or their language. Even the parts of their culture that we would consider evil and disgusting and despicable, they'd really like to hang on to that because it's just part of who they are, and the government really likes that. Last is Cambodia. It's a fertile, forest-covered state of southwest Indochina on the Mekong River. We call it the Mighty Mekong. It's a massive, raging river during rainy season. It's a sight to see. There's 42 peoples in Cambodia, and 30 of them are still unreached. There's 25 languages spoken. The official language is Khmer. And the largest religion, again, in all of these countries you're seeing a pattern, is Buddhism. So, Let's talk about our story, kind of walk you through it. We left the United States in February of 2012, and were there one day, we're in Thailand, one day short of 2 years. We spent our first 6 months in Chiang Mai, which is missionary paradise. It's a gorgeous place that you could retire if you wanted to. And then we moved out of there to Bangkok, which is a huge, sprawling metropolis, about 18 million people, if you count all the undocumented or illegal immigrants that are in that country or in that city. So huge, huge city. This is our view from our street when we moved in. So we moved into Chiang Mai. If you look just to the right, there's the Wycliffe offices. We didn't know that when we got our house, but after a couple of weeks, we were walking by and stopped and talked to one of the guys. He spoke English. We're like, what's going on? So he'd been to the States several years, and he was the head of Wycliffe in Thailand. So that was a cool connection for us to make right off the bat. This is the view from the front of our house. You can see Jen and the kids there. It's a little two-story townhouse. This is what we saw when we walked upstairs for the first time, a little shrine, Buddhist shrine in our landing area upstairs. And I cleaned it up a little bit, but there was a dead, starting to stink fish that they had offered, some still smoldering incense sticks and everything. So that was kind of our culture shock right off the bat. 11 at night, haven't slept in 50-some hours, and we walk upstairs, and there's a shrine right next to our bedrooms. So that was very, very interesting for us. This guy was there to welcome us right away. It's a Jingjo, or a gecko, not Geico, gecko. This is our outside kitchen. None of this was there, except for the water pump there in the left corner. And we got to go and learn all about Thailand and shopping in Thailand to equip our house. It's outside, so it's full of mosquitoes all the time. Jen's favorite guest was the massive spiders that would come in and like to startle her when she was cooking. She loved it. Snails that left trails of what snails do, all slime, but also they in one end and out the other, and it's a trail all across your wall. So you brush up against it, and you got gritty, nasty excrement all over you. So we got used to all kinds of things in our kitchen. This is another house guest. I don't know if you can see it or not. It's a frog in our sink. Frog in Jen's coffee cup. That one got scrubbed, let me tell you. And this is our mode of transportation. For much of the time we were in Chiang Mai, this is a songtow, which means two rows. So in the back of the truck, you've got a row on each side of it, and you just pack it full. Later on in the presentation, you'll see a picture of one in Laos with people just hanging off the back and the roof full of stuff. And that's how we got around, got to learn the city and how to grunt and do sign language and stuff before we learned to speak. A lot of it by speaking to the drivers on where we want to go. One time the songtow was full like that, and the guy's like, come on in. We're like, no, it's full. He's like, no, in the cab. So we had seven people in a stick shift Ford Ranger size vehicle, single cab. So Jen stuck her head out, or stuck her arm out the window, took a picture. It's pretty cool. After we were there about 10 days, our organization, Global Serve International, had their field conference in Chiang Mai. So we had people coming in from Northern Asia, Eastern Asia, all over the place. And we got to go and do some of the touristy things right off the bat with the field conference. So this is at an elephant camp. This elephant is actually painting a portrait or a picture all by himself. That's the finished thing. All the trainer did was hold the easel for the elephant, and the elephant did the rest. Okay? It was amazing. And that's another picture that an older, more experienced elephant had painted. It's a whole landscape. And again, not a lot to do with missions, but really neat, just to see the culture and to help you see what the people and what they love is like. There's, elephants are venerated in Buddhist culture. There's three different names for elephants depending on the concept or the context in which you're talking about that elephant. The famous beer of Thailand is elephant beer. So they love elephants. This is a picture of one of the actually nicer, more organized electric lines in the country. This is a big part of culture also, actually. Take off your shoes before you go anywhere. Take off your shoes. I was sitting up here as Pastor was praying and singing this evening, and I had my feet just kind of spread out, pointing at him. I would never do that at a church or a temple or anything in Thailand, because your feet are one of the best ways to disrespect somebody else. So you tuck them under you, so your feet are pointing at the ground, or you sit cross-legged on the ground. You never point your feet at somebody that is older than you or has a higher position than you. You never step over somebody or even their wares at a flea market or something, because if you step over the corner of their little mat, you're being very disrespectful to them. So feet are a big deal. Always take your shoes off. There's a pile outside of actually the Wycliffe offices. There was a church downstairs, and we attended there for about 5 months when we were in Chiang Mai. And one of the first things we did in Thailand was to hire a language helper. See the lady in the orange shirt in the back there? That's Kru Mai. Mai is her name. Kru means teacher. That's her title, Kru Mai. And then her husband and her daughter. And the first thing we did was just go out and do all kinds of culture events. You got to know the culture and language, right? So what's the best way to do it? Go out, see people doing what they do every single day. So we did that. This is us walking. We walked way up a mountain, and we're walking back down inside of it. And there's a temple down there. This is about a 30-foot-long reclining Buddha. The monks were down there. Sorry, it's harder to see. What you can see is his face is way over there on one end, and his feet are on the other. But that's a very holy site. There's shrines all the way up the mountain where you stop and offer incense and different things, big gongs that you can ring for different reasons. So it's pretty neat. There are monks down there. You could offer rice and everything to them. It's a shot down in the cave with us. This is at a huge wat. Wat is the word for temple. We're at a huge temple in Chiang Mai, way up on the mountain. It's one of the most famous tourist sites in Thailand, but also very venerated by Buddhists. People travel from all over the Buddhist world to come see Doi Su Thep. This is Walmart right here. Or Meijer. I like Meijer better, so we'll say that's Meijer's. Jen, you want to come up and tell a little bit about this?
Can you hear me? Okay. So one of the first things I got to experience is trying to go grocery shopping and get food for my family. And I have to say, like, right off, it was a lot of work, just like mentally trying to figure out, okay, what is this? And we have some food allergies. My husband has celiac disease, so he can't have gluten. And so trying to figure out, okay, well, what does this have wheat in it and all this stuff. So they have a local market, which is the picture that you're looking at right now. And then there's also, like, it's called Tesco Lotus. It's kind of like a Walmart, so it's a little bit nicer place to go shopping, but still just a lot of different products that you're not used to and different ways to do things. And so it was just a little bit overwhelming at first. I have to say that was my first culture shock experience, I think, of just learning how to do that and what to cook for my family and all of that. So if you can imagine just going into the picture before, this local market, and then as you go in, there's tables set up, like all, you can imagine just rows and rows of tables in here, and fruits and vegetables and meat and eggs and just pretty much anything food-wise you can imagine. They would have some different sauces and different things set up on different tables, and every table has a person selling their products. And of course, we walk in the market and everyone stares at us right away because we're foreigners. We have white faces. And, we don't know what we're doing. We're kind of like, you know. But the first experience of going to the market, our language helper actually went with us and helped us, kind of showed me around a little bit and helped with the language barrier. She didn't know much English, and at the time, we obviously didn't know much Thai. So it was a little bit difficult, you know, trying to communicate with each other, but she helped and she kind of showed me how to shop. And the money currency is in baht, so you have to learn, like, 30 baht equals one U.S. dollar, and trying to figure out, okay, well, 60 baht for eggs, $2, is that a good price? And a lot of times they will charge more to a foreigner because they know that they think that we're rich. You know, we come over there and we have all this money to spend. And, you know, that's obviously not the case. But so they automatically will charge you a higher price. So you have to learn how to negotiate a little bit. And, you know, it's a bit uncomfortable for us as Americans. You don't have to do that. And so you kind of have to learn and get used to that. So I'd say that we did pretty good by the end. We were like, we would learn how to negotiate a bit. So this is the meat market that we went into. We actually bought meat one time, and three out of six of us got sick, so I didn't buy meat at the local market for a while. But as we got used to it, in Laos, there's no other place to buy meat except the local market, so we would learn that you have to buy it early in the morning and bring it home and cook it right away. You can't let it sit in your fridge or go later in the morning or afternoon and buy meat after it's been sitting out all day. So
there's flies everywhere, so if there's meat out, it's instantly covered with flies, so you just kind of go home, throw it in boiling water, and say, please, Lord, help us not get sick. And we didn't usually.
Yeah. Either our stomachs got used to it or we learned how to cook it. I don't know which one. Okay, so is there another? Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. This is a picture. They are interpreting my reaction to a chicken that I opened the bag, and the whole chicken was there, the legs, the head, everything. And I'm not a huge meat person. I don't love, like, dealing with raw meat. And so, and even in the States before we went over, I hated, like, you know, taking the insides out of the whole chicken. And so when I open this bag and the whole chicken's in there, I'm like, oh, my. So he came to my rescue and helped me with that. So I was thankful. This is actually one of our neighbors. She took me to the market a few times also, and she spoke very well, good English, and so she would take me to a local market once a week or so. I would go with her, and so that really helped break the barrier, and I kind of learned from her, and she's a believer also, so it was just a neat relationship that we got to have with her. So this is a view out of a three-story market. There's lots of different markets in Chiang Mai, and you see here just how kind of clustered everything is. There's lots of different stands and traffic and things that people walking and bicycles and what we would say motorcycles, but they're just like, what are they called? The mopeds. Moped?
Okay. Motorcycles. Motorcycle.
Okay. So just kind of dealing with all that congestion and stuff as you go to the markets, and, you know, different language and different ways of doing things. So, and I will let you take my way.
All right. So, again, these are just pictures showing you kind of our learning process. We went in, we wanted to learn what people in Thailand and in Asia do every day, how they think about what they do every day, why they do the things that they do, so that when it comes time to teach about Jesus Christ, we understand how they think and the analogies that we can give that will make sense to them, and how to speak in the just the everyday speak of people. So we have to understand how they live first. So that's really the first thing you have to do. And this picture is just another one of them. We went to, this is an older temple. They're actually redoing it. Just toured it with our language helper. She was telling us all the different things as best we can. This is, again, we're only there about 2 months at this point probably, so we don't speak a lot of Thai. Thai is, they say, a 4 to 6 year language for an English speaker to actually master it to the point where I can have a decent theological discussion with somebody, explain a concept like sanctification or redemption or justification. So you got to study hard for 4 to 6 years in order to make that concept real. To make it complete. It's hard enough in English to someone who's unchurched, but to do it in Thai to someone who's a Buddhist and has never even heard the name of Christ, it's even more difficult. We were a spectacle everywhere we went. These are some tourists actually in Chiang Mai also from China. They wanted pictures. We had pictures taken everywhere. There's some more. Here's some neighborhood girls that Abby got to be friends with. They were very sweet, took very good care of her, and it was nice to see our kids have friends right away, and they learned to speak Thai because their friends spoke Thai. And the best way to learn culture and language is to be a friend and to have friends. So that's what we tried to do. Some more pictures. This is our language helper's daughter. Her name is An-An. And again, her and Abby hit it off. This is the boys just hanging out in one of the neighbor's houses. These are some friends of ours that came from way up north out in the mountainous part of Thailand. they'd come down because she was actually a really good baker, and they thought, hey, maybe we can come down to the city, make a bit more money, and give our two sons a chance at a good education and a chance to be a little bit more than we are. That's very important in Thailand. So that's what they were doing. They were probably the best friends we had in Chiang Mai as far as spending time with them, learning language. We could say, what's this, what's this, what's this, what's this? And we could ask them 100 times. They were patient. They were kind. If we said something wrong, it's a tonal language. So either I say P to him, and that means this is respectful titer. But P, it's the same word, it's just different tone. I'm calling him a ghost, which is very disrespectful in the Thai culture. But he was very patient with all those different things. So was she and their two kids, so very good friends. This is the church that met at the bottom of the Wycliffe offices. The guy with the guitar is a man that they're grooming to be an elder, to be a pastor. Wonderful guy. Very much enjoyed him. This is snack time in Sunday school. Story time in Sunday school. The girl teaching is a Karenni girl that came to know Christ. So that was very cool, being able to get plugged in and start teaching. Oops, I think I skipped one. Okay, now this is us doing our initial language. It's called TPR, or total physical response. I'm going to speed up. I'm never going to get through 130 pictures. And instead of trying to explain it, Jen and I are just going to do it. What you do is you start with three objects. So we have gal, cup. This is a bowl. I'm not going to tell you what it is. We're going to learn together. This is a plate. So you take these three items, you lay them on the table, and at this point we knew how to say, what is this? Ni kua lai kap. Like, what is this? What is this? What is this? We do that over and over and over again until we think we got it. I'm a slow language learner, so I thought I got it, and I didn't usually. We just ask over and over and over again. And then when we think we had it, we said, okay, you test me. Then she'd say, point to the cup, point to the bowl, point to the plate, so I can get it right. And then later on, as we had kind of gotten an ear for the language a little bit, then we'd say, this is a cup. She'd say, what is this? And I'd say, this is a cup. And that's how it acted, or how it went. So I'm going to hold these up. Jen's my teacher. To turn it on there. Okay, so I've already learned how to say, what is this? Ni ku alai kap.
Ni ku keo.
Ni ku alai kap.
Ni ku cham.
Ni ku alai kap.
Ni ku cham.
Ni ku alai kap.
Ni ku cham.
Okay. Ni ku alai kap.
Ni ku jan. Ni ku jan.
Ni ku plate.
Ni ku jan.
Okay, got it. Okay, so you test me now.
Ni ku arai ka?
Ni ku gao. Caught hot. Ni ku jan ka? Okay.
Ni ku arai ka?
Ni ku gao ka? Ni ku cham ka? Okay, kapun ma ka? So that's how we learned our nouns. And if it was too big to learn, or to put it on your kitchen table, you got a picture of it, and you pointed a picture. So we've developed hundreds and hundreds of pictures. So after you got a whole bunch, we tried to learn at least 30 different nouns a day, and we review the last 2 days. So every day you're interacting with 90 to 120 nouns that you've learned the last few days. Another picture of us learning kitchen items. This is Ben, our oldest, getting to learn. Okay, now this is learning verbs. You can't point to a picture of an action. It's very difficult. You can, but it's hard. So instead, your language teacher acts something out. She tells you what she's doing. And then she tells you to do it, and you do the opposite. She tells you to walk up the stairs, and you go get her a cup or something, you know? It was not my favorite thing, but I got it. Jen and Krumai got lots of laughs at me. Okay, now this is one of the things. Remember, one of our goals was to work with the foundation that got us our visas. It was a Christian foundation led by a Thai pastor that you'll see a picture of later, and a Thai lawyer, and then a Christian missionary from the States. Those are the three board members. The lawyer really had a vision for getting a very good relationship with the government, because the government's the ones who let you go to the people groups down the road that you want to go to. So if you have a good relationship with them, they know you, they trust you, and they say, yeah, go ahead. But if they don't know you, they're like, why do you want to go out there? So every year the Army of Thailand does a Children's Day. and they hosted at, this is the Air Force base in Thailand, in Chiang Mai, Thailand. So this is just, I've been there maybe 2 weeks, speak like three words of Thai. So I'm just going in there, hanging out, standing there like, what do I do next? But again, I saw culture. I saw how kids played. I saw how they interacted. I saw how adults got an unruly kid that's over there messing around to pay attention and to listen. I learned what's okay for an adult to do, what's not okay for an adult to do. Because I got to know that later when I'm teaching kids. This is later on, me teaching another English class in Ateisaban. It's like a neighborhood center. And I'd learned more Thai at this point. I love kids. I got five. But I love kids. And I had a blast teaching the kids. We're learning colors at this picture. This is us actually getting to teach the police in Chiang Mai. This guy, I'm not sure the police terms. He'd be the equivalent of a captain, I'd say. He was very high up. I didn't know that when I was talking to him, but built some good relationships there. Somebody asked me, Pastor Josh asked me, could you get a gun into Thailand? And I said, only if you had friends. With that friend, I probably could take one of my guns into Thailand and get to do things like that. But you only do those things if you have friends. So it's just one of those neat things. And again, our purpose is to build a good relationship with the people so that we're able to share the gospel with them. At this point, we don't speak well enough to share the gospel, but the members of the board do. The members of the church that we were attending could come in after us and follow up on the relationship that we created. We had something valuable in English that they wanted, so we could offer that to them, and then the gospel could be presented after us by someone who's a Christian and speaks the language very well. So that was the purpose of this. We weren't actually getting to share the gospel. We were making the road straight and flat so that people could come in behind us and share the gospel. This is one of my coworkers, Levi. Chiang Mai is a pretty nice tourist area, and tourists do the stupidest things. They just do. So we acted out. I'm actually a police officer in this picture, got all the gear. Didn't give me a gun, unfortunately, but all the rest of the gear, and my coworker was the crazy tourist, so he came in all crazy, acting like he was on a bike. I pulled him over, took his keys out, and just acted it out, and they really enjoyed it. This is us later on in the class, just interacting with them, answering questions, and getting to be, some of these guys actually became my friends, and I really enjoyed that. This is Ronald McDonald. He doesn't go like this. He goes like this. This is the Y. So our kids were Y-ing back to Ronald McDonald. This is our transportation for a while in Chiang Mai. The kids thought it was pretty cool. Even got my bride to ride it with me. It was pretty cool. This is our first date in Thailand during rainy season, and it poured all the way home. We had water this deep on the roads in this little 125 moped, so we were drenched. So at the end of about the fourth month in Chiang Mai, the time came for us to be able to start finding a house in Bangkok because the flooding at that point was down from the huge flood they had several years back, and we could start finding a house. So we jumped on the train, we didn't have a vehicle yet, and went down to Bangkok. And this is us getting on the train, looking out the windows. The kids thought it was awesome. Sleeping on the train, breakfast on the train, and this is Bangkok. Now, Bangkok is Thai. If you see above Bangkok, see the letters there? That's Gloom Tape. So we had to learn to read that. Crazy script. Looks like somebody took spaghetti noodles and whipped them out of a refrigerator. And this is A, that's B, that's C. But it's not really. This is the front of our house in Bangkok. It hadn't been cleaned up after the flood yet, so it was just filthy everywhere. This is the view out the schoolroom window. The room Jen turned into a schoolroom. This is all of our belongings in the front room of the house after we cleaned it up. This is Jen with an inside kitchen, no more snails or frogs or big spiders. Not too many more. But we had, this is our water filter. These are the replacement for the spiders. This is about a 12 to 14 foot Burmese python. And as we swung our front door open, that's right where it went. So he's close. I was scared to death the first time. By the end of it, I just took a broomstick and whacked at him until he took off. There's another one. I don't know if you can see on the top of the white wall there. That's a little smaller guy. He's only probably 10 foot long. No big deal. These are some of the neighbor kids in Bangkok. And again, learning to be friends, to learn the culture, learn the language, so we can actually share the gospel in a way that makes sense to them. We don't want to go in there hand out tracts, speak through an interpreter and not really make a difference. That's a waste of my time. It's a waste of their time. They think they're saved. They think they're going to heaven. When in reality, they don't understand anything and they're going to hell. So we have to have relationship and language. This is the church we attended. This is actually the church of the pastor that was on the board of our foundation, his church. These are some of our, we taught a professional English class. And this is the family that took it. She worked for the government. He owned a couple gas stations and stuff. They're a fairly well-to-do family, but really got to have a good relationship with them and talk a lot. Their daughter wants to either come to Stanford or the University of Michigan. I told him, don't go to Michigan, go to Michigan State. But that's neither here nor there to study. So they're giving all that they've accumulated for their daughter to come to the States and, again, learn and do something more for herself than their parents thought that they were. This is Isaac's fourth birthday party with the neighbor kids. Jen made some gluten-free cupcakes and handed them out. Kids loved them, adults didn't. And then in that picture you saw the grandma. That's her in the middle at her husband's funeral. He was the first real good friend that I made in Bangkok. Took me to get my, when we got a vehicle, helped get it registered, get everything legal, showed me around how to do things. Then one day he wasn't around like he usually was in the morning. I asked her where he went. He was in the hospital, and I never saw him again. He died of cancer. So that was our first Buddhist funeral, and actually a good friend too. So that added a whole new level of sobriety to the task that we have and the importance of sharing the gospel. This is, oh, yeah, I got to MC a wedding for the pastor's daughter and her husband. Her husband's from the Philippines, and she attended an international school. So there's a lot of guests who spoke English, but not Thai very well. So I did the ceremony and the reception in English, and then another Thai lady, two Thai ladies, did the wedding and reception in Thai. So that was a neat experience. Abby was the flower girl, so that was very fun. This is a food, blanket, and clothing drive that we did during the cool season for some of the very poor people groups up in the mountains. Again, the purpose of that is to show God's love to them, to show the government that we actually care, we want to do things. And in this case, in that people group, there's a Thai Christian missionary couple that served there. So we were able to go up there and help them even create more relationships through being able to donate those things. Here's us unloading the vehicles and carrying the bags full of clothes and blankets and such. This little guy was about 3, hoofing a 30-pound bag of rice around. He was pretty impressive. Whenever you do anything in a foreign country, when you're a volunteer on a volunteer-type visa, you got to take lots of pictures so that you're actually doing what you're doing. So this is just me getting my obligatory report picture taken, handing out a bag of rice. And this is the native garb, if you want to say, what the normal people would wear day in and day out. This is a grandma and her granddaughter. A little girl trying on the skirt that she got. It's a house. That's a single family dwelling right there, and we're talking 8 or 10 people will cram in there. There's inside of a house with the lady. One of the main cash businesses that they had in that people group was textiles. So her weaving. It's a wider view of her house, her whole family's house. And I got to fly because I want to give Jen time to at the end. A view of rice fields and terracing. Jen will talk more about this picture, so I'm just going to, that's the pastor and his wife. That was the leader of the foundation that we were part of. Jen will talk about this picture more later. It's my kids' English class. The professional English class I talked about earlier. That's a picture of me and a coworker teaching. And now, I want to take a few minutes and talk about Laos. Our goal was never to stay in Thailand. Thailand's an easy place to be, a very needy place. Lots of people groups who sell the need of the gospel, but our organization's goal is to go to the least reached and the least engaged in the most difficult places in the world. And there's lots of least reached and least engaged in Thailand, but there's not the most difficult places part of it. So we went to Thailand to get engaged in culture, language, and then we moved to Laos. So that's why. So we took several trips into Laos as we were in Thailand, met a lot of really neat people. got to meet with some lawyers and started talking about how we start businesses and things like that, which is very interesting to do in a language that's neither Thai nor English. In the law language, thankfully, most of the lawyers are pretty educated and they've got a working knowledge of English, so that helped. Met some police officers, paid some bribes, all kinds of good stuff. This is just the view walking from the plane to the airport. This is the airport in Chiang Khoan. It's north eastern Laos. This is the morning market in Luang Prabang. This is frogs. Anybody want some breakfast? There's the little fish snakes. These are the things that I couldn't stomach. The frogs are okay. A lot of things are okay, but these things were very hard for me. If you can see the fire, they're making sticky rice, which is a staple. Every meal, you have a big old handful of sticky rice because it's cheap, easy to make. You want some fish? Just go there, point to the piece you want. She'll weigh it, pay for it. Meat market, this is all pork, or mostly pork, so a few chickens in there. When I was there on one of my trips, it was the Hmong New Year, the Hmong people group's New Year, and a couple of the ladies were kind enough to stand and let me take a picture. So that was really neat to go and see that and see how they celebrate and to see their pride and their people. Sorry, it's not responding here. Okay, this is... And after that, I took a long bus ride and went to several different places in Laos, just trying to see what people groups are there, what languages are spoken, what we could do for business to actually access these people groups, things like that. And this is the rest area that you stop on the side of the mountain. That's the view from the rest area. Absolutely gorgeous. And this is when we moved as a family to Laos, just before we came back to the States to have our new baby. It's one of the fresh markets that an Australian company had actually started. They taught the people how to grow produce organically, trying to just teach them living skills of how to take care of their kids, take care of their babies, raise infant mortality, right? And they had started this. Not a Christian organization, but an NGO trying to do something good, minus the gospel. Jen and Abby, taking care of the guys in the family. And here's some friends we made in Laos while we were there. This is the capital city, Vientiane. Okay, I just want to mention this is you see all the prosthetics there? During the Vietnam War, millions and millions and millions of ordnances, bombs were dropped in many different places in Laos to try to cut off the supply lines of the Viet Cong during the Vietnam War. And one unintended consequence of that is the unexploded ordnance that's still there. So every year, hundreds and hundreds of people die and thousands more are injured just stepping on the bombs that are still alive, which is part of the reason why they don't love us Americans. You think about it, you're there, you see the people, you can't really blame them. I mean, you put yourself in their shoes. We didn't do it on purpose, we didn't mean to hurt them, but it's an unintended consequence, and that's something that we have to overcome when we're there by acts of kindness and showing that that's not really what America's like, what is not really what we're about. This is the main highway. Just a few pictures, I'll just scroll through. Main highway through Laos. It's a Ford F-150 or a Chevy Silverado right there in Laos. Side of the road. It's Abby with one of the little girls we saw on the side of the road there. Buying some little bracelets that they had made. Isaac with a little guy. They had somehow, I didn't get to see how it all set up, but figured out a way to boil water and get it to these tanks. So they're doing laundry and dishes right there. This is a Songtail, all loaded down. The inside's packed full of people and guys hanging off. Bag fell off. They stopped to pick it up. And this is the last picture sub that I'm going to talk about, and it takes us into what Jen's going to talk about. These are novice monks. They've been in the been a monk anywhere from a year to 10 years, depending on when their parents put them in there. And the spiritual darkness and the temples are just, it's impossible to miss when you're looking around, especially when you see these saffron-robed monks walking all over the place. And Jen's got some stories that she's going to tell about how the Word of God comes in. Some of you in Sunday school heard part of it, but I took all our time, so you're going to hear a little bit more. But how the gospel can go in and change lives and take these guys from being Buddhist monks on their way to a godless eternity to being my brother and your brother and your sisters and my sisters in Christ, where we will worship our Savior together in heaven someday, as we see in Revelation. So that's what it's all about, really. So Jen's got some stories of how God's word transforms lives. We might hold you 5 minutes over or so. Sorry. Okay.
Now you can throw paper wads at Pastor, but not my wife, okay?
Okay, I'm going to try to do pictures and talk at the same time. You'd think that I'd be able to handle that with 5 kids, you know, multitasking, but... Okay. Okay, this first picture is just a representation of what a inside of a temple looks like. When you go in, there's usually a big Buddha set up. I don't know how many people here have actually been able to visit a temple before, so I wanted to kind of give you an idea of what it's like to go in one. You see the man up front on his knees, bowing in front of the temple. And this is a part of their daily life. It's just incorporated in their daily life. It's what they live for, just making the Buddha happy, making serving the monks that you saw in the picture before. So I shared this morning a verse, 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Okay, there's, as you go, we had an opportunity to go in several different wats and temples just as we learned the culture there and just experiencing, seeing people and what they did. And they're fine with you coming in and just watching. And so we got to do that a few times. But when you go in there, you just feel the darkness and just the heaviness, you know, of these people, like, not understanding the truth and not seeing the light that Craig shared about this morning in Psalms 119. If you were in Sunday school, it talks about God's testimonies and how they reveal light and life, that new life that Paul talks about in Ephesians 4. That's what God's word does. It brings change. It brings transformation. It renews our minds and gives us a purpose for living. And these people are blinded by that. Here's another picture of people just offering incense, which is kind of a form of them offering prayers up to the Buddha. And they burn candles. The yellow things that you see right in front of the people kneeling there are candles. They light candles for different reasons. And this is one of the bigger wats in Chiang Mai that we visited. And people walking in the back there with this piece of paper they hold in their hand. It's like a chant. So they walk around the main temple area and do this chant. And then, you know, they kneel in front of the Buddha. And there's just a lot of different ritualistic tradition things that they do. And as we were able to build a relationship with our language helper, asking her some questions like, why do they do this? And what is this for? And a lot of people don't really know. It's just tradition. They've done it for so many years. They don't understand why they do it. They just do it because their mom and dad did it and their grandpa and grandma did it. And, you know, it's just and kind of passed on from generation to generation. This next picture is actually a picture of one of the young girls that we got to know pretty well that went to our local fellowship in Bangkok. She loved Abby, so she got a picture with Abby. Abby was very popular because of her blonde hair in Thailand, so she got lots of pictures taken. But she's a very sweet girl, came down from the mountainous area of Thailand and was living and working in Bangkok to make money to help her family. And, you know, it's kind of the way of life, like the younger generation helps to support the older generation as they go. But she is actually a believer, and we just got to see how God had used his word to change and transform her life and how she desired to live for him and to honor him. And she was actually dating another believer that was in the church. So it was just neat to kind of watch their relationship and for them to grow in the Word. And this is our language helper in Bangkok. We got to build a really neat relationship with her. She's a very sweet lady. She had been a believer for 3 years at the time when we met her, and so she also attended the church. She actually worked like as a secretary type position there, and she taught us language 4 times a week, so we got to spend a lot of time with her. And so just another life, an example of God's Word coming in and changing her view on life and changing her heart and transforming her life, and God's Word making that change from her just following Buddhism to understanding the truth and wanting to grow in that and know her Lord and Savior more and more. This is a picture that Craig showed earlier. Dr. Somjai and Kun Jin Tana. Kun is just a very respectful term that we would use in doctor. We also would say Ajahn Somjai. Ajahn is another word for teacher. Craig used crew earlier. If you remember, Ajahn is like a higher level of teacher. So he was the pastor there at the local church that we attended. He was also on our board of our foundation that we served with in Thailand. And just a really neat couple that we got to spend quite a bit of time with and got to know them and just have a real special place in our hearts for them. But I shared with you this morning, we didn't have pictures this morning, but he is the one I spoke about, that he was a monk for 20 years before he came to know the Lord. So it's very common for young boys to serve as monkhood, I guess you would call it, for so long, maybe 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, or whatever. It kind of gives merit to the parents and different things like that. But he had served for 20 years before God's Word was able to come in and change his life. And now he is the head of this local church. They do a lot of family ministry. He goes to local schools and teaches about purity. And they do a lot of marriage counseling and just different things like that. Just a really neat couple, and that the Lord is using in mighty ways there in Bangkok and the greater area. They do a lot of traveling outside of Bangkok. So, and their daughter is actually the daughter that Craig was sharing with earlier. He got to MC their wedding, and Abby was the flower girl and stuff. So I think that's all. So, I think that is just Craig and I's heart, and our passion is just seeing God's Word changing lives and going to people that have never heard before, and that is what our family desires to do as we work in Thailand and Laos or wherever the Lord takes us next, wherever he has for us. We desire to serve him and share his word with others and see them grow and mature and serve him. And so that's all. Yeah.
Great. It's 7:02, so it's going to take you 5 minutes over, and I'm going to do it. I want to give you just a couple of prayer requests for us, a little bit of a vision for the future or of what our future looks like, and then you guys can all go. You can all go after that. But if there's questions about anything, we're happy to stand here as long as the last person wants to stand and talk and ask questions and understand. You are one of our supporting churches, and you are members of our prayer team, and we would love for you to actually have a good understanding of what you're praying for. So after I give you a few things about our future, feel free to get up and go home, take care of your kids, whatever. But if you want to stay, we'll stay up here as long as Pastor lets us. Maybe you can pay him back a little bit, make him stay later tonight. So, like I said, we moved into Laos. We did a lot of traveling in Laos, trying to understand what good businesses are that place you actually with the unreached people groups in their area, so you have access to them on a regular basis and able to share the gospel, disciple, plant a church, translate the scriptures, and leave a local body that's fully equipped to do what a church is supposed to do, to reach out to the other groups of their peoples, and then after that, reach out to other people groups altogether. That's our goal. That's what we want to see at the end. So during our travels, we had come across a coffee business that was run by an American and his Lao wife for the purpose of accessing people groups, and they were doing a very good job. They had so far planted 2 churches in the Mien peoples. You can actually go to their website if you want. Called prayforthemien.com, and just kind of see what they're doing if you want to go visit that. And we had what we thought was a really good deal, or really not a deal, just a very good agreement worked out. Myself, my leadership, and then a retired banker, entrepreneur, business owner from North Carolina that wanted to finance a lot of our work and wanted to be the one that really taught me business and make sure that we made wise decisions and everything, because I'm not a businessman. But he's a financial genius. You know, he did it his whole life, just very good at it. So we worked for over a year at this. Really thought that it would give us a visa to get us back into Laos the 3rd of October, right in there is when we wanted to get back. Well, the 18th of August, so just a couple weeks ago, just found out that for a variety of reasons, it wasn't going to work out. So we went from what we thought was a really good access for our whole family to go and work with those people groups to not really knowing what the Lord has for us next. So if you would all pray for us as we just seek out the Lord's will. Is he directing us somewhere else? Is he saying, you know what, I taught you some lessons here, and you've learned them, now I've got something else for you? We don't know where he's at, but we know that he's there. We know that he's leading. And if you would pray for us that we would see that leading, have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to obey, we would sure appreciate it. And another thing, just pray for these countries. Missions in the past has been so ineffective that in Thailand you can take tracts and teach anybody you want to in a Buddhist school or the little teaching rooms at the Buddhist temples, and the Buddhist monks feel zero threat from you as a Christian that you will convert people to Christianity. And a lot of that's because we haven't taken the time to really understand what the reasons are that they would turn to Christ for real. One of the big questions that we learned that people would ask is, okay, I understand this Christianity. I see that it's true and it has value, but what happens to my parents who are dead if I convert to Christianity? Who's going to say the prayers for them? Who's going to light the incense? They're Buddhist. And there's a million questions like that. But we really haven't taken the time as Christian missionaries to answer these questions in these countries. And that's why there's still 85, 90, 95, 99% Buddhists in countries where missions has gone on for hundreds of years. So pray for the people, first of all, that they would, God would just give them just the spiritual insight through the power of his Holy Spirit to see their need and to see his power and the answers to all these questions. And pray for missionaries and people like us who go, that we would be diligent, hardworking people who study the language, study the culture, and then are able to share with wisdom and insight so that we can have these as these people as brothers and sisters as we stand before the throne of our Savior. So that's a prayer request. I'll go ahead and pray. Is that okay, Pastor, or would you rather? Okay, and then whoever wants to leave can leave. And then if there's any questions, I'd love to entertain them after that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for the people you created, for revealing yourself to us through your word, through your son, in a way that all of us can understand. Father, I pray that you would help us to love you and to serve you wholeheartedly, that we would dive into your word daily, seeking you, crying out to you to know your heart, to know your statutes, to love your commands, that we'd even be asking you for the desire to do those things, Father, so that we can go out and transform our world wherever we are. Father, I do pray for these precious people who don't know you, that you've created for the purpose of having a relationship with you, for giving you glory. Pray that you would prepare their hearts, and that you would prepare those who go's hearts to be diligent, to work hard, to put in the time, to put in the effort for your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So those who don't have questions are dismissed. The rest of you will stick around a couple minutes, and you can ask any questions you have. In Thailand we did, yeah. In Laos it will be different. We were only in Laos for 2 months. It was a transitional time, and we just came back to have our... Sorry, he's got a flashing light. Came back to have the baby.
Yeah.
So that's a big prayer. What we'll do next, Amos? Good question. Yes, Pastor.
Do the Muslim people there consider you a threat or a target?
Yes, southern Thailand. Every single day, you hear about the Buddhists and the Muslims fighting and killing each other. There's